Welcome to Trans Experience, the podcast where we celebrate trans experience as part of the human experience. We're Madison and LG, two trans women diving into everyday life, politics, pop culture, relationships, and more.
Being trans is just one part of who we are. Join us as we laugh, learn, and share stories that remind everyone we're not so different after all.
It was terrible.
No, I want to
oh my god. Yes.
Just straight up. Yes.
Fucking
yes.
Actually, I look really great like this with the full neck.
Well, she's always changing. She's always doing this number with her 90s, you know?
I saw yeah.
So she's like this close to nipple out. She is this close to nipple out every time.
Sex videos?
She's always putting them on Facebook, girl.
No, not I've never put any on my Facebook.
She's so modest. Is it working or what?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you recording us?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hi.
Welcome to Trans Experience. This is LG.
And this is Madison.
And today we have a really special guest.
Not Itzy.
Not Itzy, even though she's crying in the background. She is a big bitch, though.
No, she is.
She is the bitch.
But a very special guest, our friend Jade, is here.
Hi, Jade.
Thanks for having me. Hey, everyone. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
So what's today's topic, Maddie? Actually, let's get to know a little bit about you.
Yeah. Babe.
Tell us a little bit about you. Like, how do we know you?
Yeah, so...
The truth.
Oh, the truth.
Yeah.
Well, LG...
We were inmates.
LG and me had community service. and Maddie and me were locked up together.
Amen.
Abroad.
Amen. No.
Of course, she'll give the cleaning job to the Mexicans.
As it should be.
As we should. But one of us is better than the other, and that's you.
Yeah.
You're better at cleaning than I am.
That's because you're blonder than me.
That's true. So,
you're a bit whiter.
I have met LG and Maddie from AA Recovery. I've known LG for a little bit over a year, maybe a little bit longer, a year and a half. And Maddie, met Maddie, maybe it was
her birthday.
So it was been a year since I've met you.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about getting together all this time, and I'm happy to finally be able to get on the podcast and talk with you and to say thank you for putting together the Trans Experience to help other trans women and trans men and the gay community to better understand your perspectives and point of view. And I think it's amazing what you guys have done and thrown together. So thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate it. I know that we haven't had much time, but you are an absolute force to be reckoned with out there in the world. Like, just from afar, from what I do know of you, like, you're someone that I absolutely look to and say, if that is the benchmark, let me get there, right? Because you're so well-rounded, you're so adjusted into who you are, and LG will tell you, like, I struggle with that. Like, I really struggle to find my feet sometimes in this world because it can get so chaotic, right? And just when I hear from LG and from Regina, like, the way that you carry yourself is, like, something that is to be aspired to be in this world, right? So, like, thank you for just being you. And being kind of a North Star for some of us that do get lost in the noise.
Thank you so much.
I think that it is paramount to mention that you do have 8 years clean and sober, that you've been an advocate for us. You know, the job that you the position that you actually hold today, it has nothing to do with education. Like, you actually just, you got it because of the hard work that you put in behind. You know, like, and I do admire you. I think that we have a good, strong friendship.
You're definitely one of my best friends, so I think...
Can you say that a little bit louder?
Can you slide the 20 on the table, please? LG is
I thought it was five.
So, first off, thank you, Maddie, so much for that compliment. It's huge. One of the things, and I absolutely look up to you in the sense of you have so much grace and so much energy, and I see that out there when you play... kickball and your enthusiasm and how excited you are, and you're so full of life.
Thank you.
And then LG, you have so much excitement for cleaning and the just kidding. You have so much excitement for life and so much joy, and you bring so much joy to so many people, and you've definitely come into my life and made it 10 times better. And one of the things I think that's important that I've also struggled with, kind of just to tie into what you said with the noise around the world is, and I'm sure a lot of people can feel this, is imposter syndrome.
Oh, amen.
And I don't know if everyone has this or if it's just because I'm trans or what it is, but I know that, you know, whenever anything good's happening or whenever things are going well, I'm kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop, or I'm kind of waiting like, is this real? Is this really happening to me? Is that something that you relate to too?
Absolutely. Go ahead. What do you got? Oh,
no, go ahead. Stuff?
So, not to cut her off, but what are you doing? Are you playing with the fire?
It's just that I hear this
noise.
Like, yeah.
Like the fans?
I think it's the fans.
Okay. Are you able to cut that out? And
the fan?
The noise in the back?
No. Call home currency.
Okay. So, no, I mean, the imposter syndrome is real, but I don't think it has to do with my trans identity. I really do think it's because I just never saw myself in the spaces I take up today, right? Like, I dropped out of 7th grade because of bullies. My mom let me quit school. I'm going to graduate the master's in September after getting a bachelor's and my undergrad.
That's
you know
amazing.
What I mean? So, like, but also, like, I was never allowed to play sports because of how queer I was. I wasn't allowed to play on the boys team or the girls team, and now I play kickball at a high level, you know? And so, like, my career is, I was a food server all of my life, and I loved it. And I told LG this before, like, that was where I thought I was happiest because it was so good for my personality type, not realizing that there was more out there for me. And so I don't think it has anything to do with my trans identity. I think it's just because as a child, little boy me, never saw Madison in real time, right? It wasn't even a dream. This was not even a dream, right? My dream was, I'm gonna work at IHOP forever. But that's the thing, that was my goal. That was my only goal, you know? So I think the imposter syndrome is very real, but I think it's on a higher level than just this one piece of me. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
No, it does. I love that you said, it's in the spaces that I hold. I never expected to be in these spaces.
Yeah.
That's so powerful, because showing up in the world and being able to be who you are, trans woman with our whole story, with who we are as people, and to show up and to be the best version of ourselves and to enter in rooms that we never thought we would enter and have conversations with people we've never thought we'd have conversations with.
Yeah.
It's amazing and it sometimes blows my mind. And like for me, you know, I, with educational wise, I dropped out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like sophomore year, junior year. And I was actively using in my addiction. And I never, most of my teenage years in my adulthood, I wanted to die.
Yeah.
I was depressed. I had several suicide attempts, and that I never expected my life to change or to get any different, because I didn't think it was possible for me to be exactly who I was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
So being a transgendered woman in this world, I didn't even think it was possible, similar to what you said. And then also I didn't know how to do that. Like, how was I going to do this, and what was it going to look like? And when I did finally decide to do it, it was kind of like hard versus harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, life was hard the way it was before as a boy. Life as a trans woman, harder, right?
Yep.
So you chose between, but the truth of my happiness and the truth of my honoring myself was on that journey. And then the part of it was, you know, always being uncomfortable and unsure if I belonged in these spaces.
Amen.
And questioning if I brought as much value to the world as others, because
the ones around you, they're in these spaces, you're like, God, you're so fucking smart.
I know.
You know, and you sound like LG, sounds beautiful when she just goes into that mode of just like preaching to us. And I'm just like, give it to me, sis.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have that. You know what I mean? It's like, how dare I take up space right now?
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off. Anyways.
No. That's exactly how I felt for so long, because I was like, I've never been to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't graduate with a degree or bent in anything. But what I do know is that I'm scrappy.
Mm-hmm.
And part of being in recovery is we will figure it out and we'll make it work. And that's what I've done is, you know, I've started from the bottom and I've worked my way up. And and continue to focus on showing up. And there were times where I was in so much fear, like, can I actually do this? I've never done this before. Can I do this? And I remember I had to pray so hard, and I had to really call upon my courage. And the only way I know how to deal with that type of imposter syndrome is to show up anyways.
Yes.
And do it regardless of whether, yes, I'm afraid or not.
Yes.
And that's been my saving grace, is that I've walked in rooms and had conversations with people I have had no business having conversations with.
Yes.
And my life, and I've just shown up as my most authentic version of myself and allowed those people to see me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you said courage, and courage, for me, I had to realize that my vulnerability was my courage, right? Because I was actually being more of myself than I'd ever been to anyone, even myself, right? And so, like, I tell people all the time, like, I didn't have a choice in being trans. I do have a choice in who I tell,
yeah,
right? Do I tell the world? Do I tell myself? Like, you know what I mean? I have an easier time telling people that I have a meth problem than I did for the first 4 years of my transition saying I'm trans, right?
Yeah.
And, like, it's finally when I accepted that word, those four little letters, when I finally accepted that, I realized that's where my courage laid, was in knowing that that's mine. And I get to own that. Nobody gets to tell me anything anymore, right? And so, like, that's where I found mine. Do you want to say something? You're just so quiet over
there. Yeah. Sorry. Actually, I'm quiet because I'm trying to look at Itzy because Itzy's just, like, making mayhem over there. And I'm trying to keep her, like, just, like, making that eye contact. You know, like stop. But I think that part of that imposter syndrome comes from our upbringing. You know, a lot of the voices that limit us, that cognitive map that was drawn, and I always mention this, that cognitive map that was created by the voices and expectations and opinions of everybody else when we were never good enough, when we're not smart enough, when we're not pretty enough, woman enough. And it, yeah, seems like we were never enough. So when we come into spaces that we believe to be way too big for us, that's exactly how it feels. You know, it feels like I don't belong here. But one of the things that I've learned, because as with you, most of the jobs that I've done has been in fast food restaurants, managing and all of that. So going into the clinical aspect of it, I feel really quite limited. I've been in that field for almost 3 years, and I still feel inadequate at times. You know, I still question my notes. I still, but the one thing that has changed from then to now is that I've learned to ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, like, even though I feel like I don't belong there, I know that there's a reason that I'm in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't put myself there. The way that I see it, because I do believe in God quite a bit, and to me it's like, if he put me there, he's going to make me go through it.
Oh, I love
you
that.
You know what I mean? Like, if he put me there, like, there's a reason that I'm here, and the only reason that I'm able to do the job that I do is because he's like, look, you might feel like you don't qualify, but I already qualified you for this shit, so that's, mm-hmm, why you're there.
There's a saying that's similar to that, and I'm just going to say it. It says, God does not call the qualified, God qualifies the called.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen to that.
I've never heard that.
And I love that because it goes to show exactly like you said, like, you don't have the education and everything, but you are a scrapper, you are a fighter, you are a warrior. And that's why you are in places that you're in today. You know, like, and I think that oftentimes as trans girls, we don't recognize our growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always expecting more. We're always wanting more. Like, am I good enough? Am I doing this right? Like, we're always second guessing ourselves. And here's the thing, like, I don't need to prove myself to anyone anymore. Yet, I still feel the need to do so at times. Yeah. I still fall back into that from those insecurities, from those voices that I still need to work through. You know, like, it's not easy being trans, especially in the DNA that in the days that we're living today with the new administration and the fears that come with the workforce. You know, like, mm-hmm, for example, both of you guys are in, like, corporation status. You know,
yeah,
what I mean? And there's new laws that actually affect us in those spaces,
mm-hmm,
that jeopardize not only our identity but our safety, and not only physical safety, but what people don't understand is that when you fuck around with those kind of laws, you're fucking with our mental issues, you're fucking with our physical, you're fucking with our money, you're fucking with our stability, with our security. Like, people don't understand that what seems to be a simple law for them, it's quite a dramatic life change for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I don't think that people are taking the time to actually analyze the shit that they're doing because they're ignorant and because they're fear what they don't understand. Does,
yeah,
that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And I think one of the things I know, and I think I've learned this from a lot of people, is, like, I absolutely can relate that I was afraid. this administration had come over, they ran their campaign specifically around, you know, banning transgenders from sports and ran a campaign against basically how they were trying to eliminate transgenders in America and different spaces. And so when this situation occurred and this administration won and all these laws start coming into play, it definitely scared me because I thought, you know, it took so long for me to learn how to be okay in these spaces, mm-hmm. and to love myself and to be able to deal with these things that I'm going through, that now I have to kind of unlearn or get those taken away from me. And it was going to scare me. And one of the things I think that you had said is to not, you know, we can only do what we can do. We can't change this movement. And just to shout it out, there are tons of very bad representation of who transgender women are.
Oh God, don't even get me started.
Lily Tino,
girl, I'm gonna punch her in the face.
Issue,
when I see
I
her.
Hate that bitch.
I'm going to jail for physical assault.
But this person is—they call it rage baiting.
Yeah.
People against transgenders and doing things that we deem inappropriate, that we would never do. And that is what the world deems transgendered women are or is.
Because it buys into the narrative that they're trying to create, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to create this narrative that this is who we are. So then they find someone like Lily Tino, I feel like we're already giving her too much airtime, that feeds into that. So yes, it is rage bait. It is the definition of rage bait. However, it is giving them what they want to use against us,
yeah.
right? And the fact that they're making money doing it is what makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah. So my question to both of you guys, bringing this up in that whole rage issue that you guys are talking about.
Rage bait.
I've heard about jail bait. But what I want to know is, like, so for example, this girl, she's doing it on purpose.
Yes.
Like she knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
But has there ever been a time in your corporate life or in life in general where you guys have not actually, like, have been rage baiting without even noticing it? Like, with your behavior, with your words, like, that you guys didn't realize the damage that you were creating for those that are coming behind you?
I mean, I think for me, though, like, the only thing I knew of trans women mm-hmm. were either dead, hooking on Law & Order, or dead hookers on Law & Order. You know what I mean? Like, those are, that was
that
it.
How much that influenced in the way that you presented yourself?
But that's what I mean, and that's where, as a child, I was afraid of what that was, right? It was a cross-dresser. It wasn't a trans person living their life. It was a cross-dresser that was high on some storyline, right? Those are not true. I mean, unfortunately, they do happen in our community. However, that's not the only thing that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a child, I definitely thought that's what that was, the whole thing. So all these feelings I had, I just stuffed them down because I was like, I don't want to end up dead and I don't want to end up on drugs, right? Well, I ended up on one of them. So, you know what I mean? Like, and it wasn't dead, hint. But you know what I mean? So, like,
yeah.
I had this idea of what that was. So, yeah, to your question, no, because I grew up with this idea that a trans person had to be either hooking on the streets, smoking crack, or dead. Those were the three trans women I knew. And so I knew I didn't want to be any of those. So since I started my journey of being a trans woman, I know for a fact that there is so much more to the story that was behind those characters on TV that we were never privy to. And that's unfortunate, right? They didn't show this person living a full life
yeah.
before the drugs hit, right? We only
yeah.
got to see the end results of this. And so now I get to be that person, like, hey, there is such a thing as a powerful trans woman with a career and an education, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is battling her own demons, but in a healthy way, because we're always going to have them. Like,
yeah.
they don't go away just because you did the work. You know what I mean? You do the work so you know how to handle them when they come up. And I think that's what that is. I think it's on purpose.
Okay, what about you?
Well, when it comes to, do I think that I rage baited other people? I don't think so. And the reason why I say that is that I never tried to get the world to address me as a woman. I never told people that they had to treat me any specific way
yeah.
in any shape or form in my entire life. Take my family as an example, really good example. My family called me he until I was 30 years old. And I never told them they had to stop. and they called me by my dead name till I was like 28, and I never told them they had to change that because I felt like I didn't have the right to make that, push that onto them. There had been so much change that had happened before me in their life. I was like, you know what? If this is what you need, then this is what you need. If you need to call me a he, and you need to call me by that dead name, that's fine. I'm not going to be mad about it. It's not a big deal to me.
Do you get, like, do you get worked up when people use your dead name, as you say?
Not anymore, because no one does. But when they did, it didn't bother me, because it was just my family. Yeah. But on legal documents and, like, work things, I did.
Okay.
I used to rile me up, because I was like, that's not the name I want to go by. But the thing is that I had to understand a couple of things. One, the world that I live in. I'm not naive to the fact that this world was made in a specific context of how they believe morals and values and things should work. I'm not under that confusion.
That's Western civilization.
Yeah.
There's plenty of countries where we are worshipped.
Oh, yeah.
Which
the
is crazy.
Samoan Islands, Hawaii.
Yes. Yes.
I know.
Craigslist.
It's not a country.
No,
you're right. But in this Western civilization, I knew what I was being raised into.
Yeah.
And so I didn't need the world to adjust for me.
Yeah.
I adjusted for the world. Yeah. And what I mean by that is I was showing up authentically myself, and I was dealing with the world as the world was going to be.
Yeah.
Judgmental, hateful, angry. That was always part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
I was never confused that that wasn't going to be part of the deal.
Yeah.
It's part of the deal. If you choose to be authentic and live your true identity and self, you are going to be disliked and hated and mm-hmm. be treated differently. Think about it throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
All of those people who were different, mm-hmm. different thinking ideas, different lifestyles, those who did things differently than the status quo, people did not like them.
Mm-hmm.
People judged them. From that perspective, I was like, there's no point in me trying to convince the world to love me the way that I want to be loved. So I'm just going to be exactly who I am. And then what happened is, when it comes to work, corporate America, this is what I always believed, and this is something that I stole from Brené Brown. So if you're a Brené Brown fan out there,
huge fan, have all her books.
I love her. I read all her books too. So one of the things that she said was, if it's not conducive to the work, then I'm not going to talk about it. And that's how I felt about my job, is that if what I was doing, if my gender identity was not conducive to the work that I was doing in this world, in corporate America, that was never going to be a topic of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
That was not on the table to be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to show up to work each day, and I did not want to be identified as that. I wanted to be identified by the work that I produced
mm-hmm.
and the way that I carried myself. They may have known, which I'm sure that they did, that I was a trans woman, but I never discussed it. I never acknowledged it. That was never something that I was going to have conversation about, because in the workplace, my only primary focus is to make my company money, to help support the people that I work with and be of service to them and making sure they're successful, and to make sure I'm the best example of what hard work in America without education looks like, to allow for myself to be the best version, because I'm a hard worker.
Yeah.
That's something that I do. I never thought that education was an option for me. So I'm totally admire you for doing that. Because
it's not easy. Let me tell
you. Both of you actually did that. And
yeah.
So I admire you for doing that, because it's a lot of work. So not only did they do that, education.
And money.
Yeah. It's a lot of work and a lot of money.
I left because she said doo-doo. So.
Yeah.
Not only does.
I was trying not to.
Not only does it. They do they work full-time jobs, but they went ahead and they also take educational school. So that's a moment of just admiration for LG and for you, Madison, and the ability that I have today in my world, in my space, to affect positive change is being seen.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is I'm seen in a very visible way.
Mm-hmm.
I am broadcasted on our company's town halls for 24,000 people to see across the world. And I show up and I'm the best version of myself and I do the job that I've been paid to do.
Yeah.
And whether someone knows I'm transgendered or not, that's not relevant to me. What's relevant to me is that I show up and I do the best, and I've been the best version. And I think I really got that from Alcoholics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where I really got that concept of showing up and being the best version of myself, and not expecting anything in return from that. It's so funny, I can say that about work, but I can't say that about friendships and relationships.
No, but you know what? One other thing, and I do want to make this clear, is that you may not have the certificates and the diplomas and all of that, but you're quite the educated lady. You know what I mean? Like, you read a lot, you have a lot of knowledge on topics that I could not even begin to fucking imagine. And the work that you do, you have to have a certain level of education. Maybe it's not the education that we consider, like, well, you don't have a diploma, you don't have this, but you're quite the smart bitch. You know what I mean? And I love that about you.
Street smarts, they raise you well out there. I'm just kidding.
Do kids.
Yes.
No. Well, you know, I think that it's because you don't have to have a piece of paper to earn respect in spaces.
Amen to that.
Right? And I think that you carry yourself in such a way that no matter what you're doing or where you're at, people want to hear what you have to say, right? Even people like me who didn't know your story before I met you that day at the Chinese place, right? Like, it was when Regina was like, watch her. And I was like, okay. Because of that respect I had for Regina, right? So
yeah.
There I am watching you and admiration, right, for this woman I just met. And I'm like, does she just shit gold? Like, what is happening right
she
now?
Does.
She does.
She does.
But you know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
Like, you don't have to have, like, the degrees in line for people to say, that's a smart motherfucking bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, that's kudos to you, though, because you use it in a way that's intelligent. You use it in a way that helps others. You use it in a way to lift yourself up, right, and to promote the room, right? It's not just about you.
Yeah.
At least that's the impression I get, right? You may not like people, but...
don't tell them I see that. No. They know. The world knows.
And you know what? I think that's... especially what I think that makes us and the whole we cease fighting everyone and everything. Because here's the thing, a lion doesn't need to go to the circus and say, I'm a lion.
Yeah. Sometimes.
You know, you show up and you know what that is. You know, like,
yeah.
And I think that oftentimes as trans women, we try to fight to prove to everybody, like, well, I'm this, I'm that. When in reality, it's your actions that show who you are.
Yeah.
The way that you carry yourself, the way that you present yourself. And you do well into doing all of those things.
And LG presents herself as a whore. So,
you know what's funny?
Lady of the Night is the correct, politically correct term.
The red
I
light
love it when it's both of them with their asses hanging out, not mine. But I'm the whore. Okay, bitch.
The lady that rides on her cooter scooter.
Cooter scooter. Her prim shoe. No, but it's lovely to hear. And I think that the main thing that I'm really excited about today is how we're not just, like, blowing, you know, smoke up each other's ass, but it's actually true, you know? Like,
yeah.
We have... Okay, jinx, bitch.
You want me a
what are you, twins now? They're both the same height, too, so, like...
Just call us Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Yes!
But I want to be Ashley.
I'm Mary-Kate.
I'm Goliath version. Yeah, the Goliath version, bitch. No. I feel like David up in this
motherfucker. Excel. Super
yes,
size.
That's right. Super size. Mary-Kate and Ashley right here for
corporate
you.
Size.
Oh, yes!
Whoa, corporate size.
No, but you know what? Like, what I see is a whole lot of trans girls supporting each other, admiring
each
other, rather than competing with each other, which is what we're used to doing.
I think it still happens a lot, though.
It does, but it's little spaces like this. Like I said, we cannot change the entire world, but we can change the environment around us.
Yeah.
And when we start gathering like this, little by little, that's how movements start to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's educating those girls out there that are like, well, I could never have a trans friend. I could never, like, yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with respect. And here's the thing, like, Jade and I have gotten mad at each other twice.
Yes.
And it's never been an argument, and it's never been disrespectful,
no.
And it's never been to the point to where, like, we can never come back. Because even though, like, we walk out the door, we leave that fucking door open.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm grateful for that, because it goes to show that you don't have to agree with everyone all the time, but that doesn't mean that you have to walk away from everyone
all
the time.
Have we ever fought? Or have we ever done that?
I don't think we've ever had.
Because I remember when you guys were going through that. I don't want to bring it up, but like,
oh yeah,
no, it, like it was. That was the first. It was hard. It was hard for her, and of course, I don't know you that well. But like, yeah. hey, what's going on with you? You know, because I didn't know what actually happened because she didn't really tell me. I just knew there was a separation that had happened.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what, like. One, this is true friendship, right? Like, people go through that. But I'm thinking, like, I don't think you and I've ever gone through that, though. And we're both loud, opinionated bitches. I'm not sure how we haven't.
It was because,
it's because you're white and I know my place. And she's
with a broom. That's what she does. But, no, I think that what happened is right place, right time for emotions to run rampant. And a lot of the time, when things are coming up, it's because we're learning about each other, and we learn deeper. Me and her, me and LG don't have a surface relationship, and I'm not saying anyone does, but I'm saying, like, when we first started meeting each other, we go deep. Mm-hmm. We talk about everything in our lives, and we talk about all these different things, so we're very exposed to one another. So when we hurt each other's feelings, we really hurt each other's feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's because, like, she knows all my secrets and I know all her secrets. And to her point, you know, we didn't fight and we didn't do all those things, but we knew we needed some space and some time. But when I found out it was her 3 years?
3 years.
I was like, I gotta go and hear her speak, and I gotta go and see her get her chip, even though I hadn't seen
funny,
her.
Funny how you knew, but she didn't tell me. That's crazy.
She didn't tell me.
Which knew? I'm glad that you bring that up, because she didn't know, and she was fighting with me, but she knew.
I know it's in April.
Ooh.
I was like.
I guess our first fight is beginning right now.
Yes, let's go. It's a true
friendship.
I never get to fight with anybody.
But sometimes some of the best ones you never fight with. So
that's true.
You guys could just have one of those kindred spirit ones. But when I showed up to the meeting and I saw her get her chip, I was so proud of her. I was so proud of all the hard work she had done, and I was so proud of her going to school and doing all these things, and to hear her speak, she got to speak at spring break, our Lambda AA spring break, and I was so proud. And I can love and be proud of someone and still, you know, have some unprocessed feelings around a disagreement or an argument.
Yeah.
And so the door, you know, I guess it was just we were waiting for the right moment to have that that reckoning with one another. But kind of to circle back to one of the things that you had said earlier, LG, around competition and people doing that in that space, and Maddie, you agreeing that that still happens in the world.
It does.
And I don't feel, for me, one of the things that that me and LG have always done, and she's my first transgendered woman friend, because I have had a really hard time in the past allowing people into my life.
Same.
Because of this sense of competition and this sense of they want to steal each other's man and who's prettier.
So annoying.
And all this stuff. And so what I ended up having to do was I had to acknowledge the beauty and the amazing things that are in other people, right? And if I can acknowledge how beautiful you are, and then I also can start to acknowledge how beautiful I am. And if I can accept you and care for you, you can also care for me. And so that's kind of how I saw it, as just showing up and being authentic and being able to see all your amazing, beautiful qualities that you possess, but also not being threatened by those, to know that I also possess qualities that are of value. And that's what helps me to have, like, balanced friendships and balanced relationships.
Yeah. Well, LG's my first trans female friend also. That's not...
And pop their cherry.
Listen, but it's not like a... She was the first one that... first when I first met her, the first time, I was like, okay, well, that's a beautiful, natural woman. That fucking sucks, right? So, like, there was that part first. So it didn't register that she was trans the first time I met her. And so I guess my guard wasn't as up as it normally is.
Yeah.
And so... diving into this friendship, right? Like, we could not be more opposite of each other, really. Just in a lot of ways. She loves to clean. I hate cleaning. You know?
That's something you both have in common.
I hate cleaning.
Me too.
But you know what I mean? And so, like, I didn't think that that was possible because I thought you had to have something in common. And then I realized how much we have in common. So, yes, we're polar opposites, but my God, we have a lot of things in common. And I think that's what started this podcast, was that we both realized that the trans experience is a human experience. Like,
yeah.
All of these things we're talking about aren't just for trans women,
no.
Right? Women have trouble having friendships. Men have trouble having men friendships. Like,
yeah.
Has nothing to do with our trans identity. And I think that a lot of the world has lost focus on this subculture that is 0.1% of the population is having the same struggles everybody else has every day.
Yeah.
And having a friendship like her has really taught me that. Like, I really thought that I was the only one having this struggle at this moment. You know,
yeah.
But that was also, you know, part of my addiction, you know, part of my character defects, I guess. But having her as a friend has really showed me that, like, no, I'm not alone doing this shit, you know? Like, there are other people out there that are having the same struggles, trans and not trans,
yeah.
You know? And it took me a while to learn that.
Well, and what I love that you said is that we're not so different than we think. Like, everyone thinks they're unique and special, and we are. But when it comes to the human experience, we're not.
We're not.
We're humans having feelings and having emotions. We're just having them different times, different experiences,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
whatever that is. And what I really can appreciate is in this conversation is, and in spaces like this, is that I don't have to pretend that I don't
mm-hmm.
have those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can be a human being who struggles with relationships,
yep.
struggles with self-esteem, struggles with all of these human things. Like,
yep.
these are not, just to your point, trans people's problems.
Right.
Exclusive to
yeah.
us. And I think that stating that and circling back to the whole workforce, that's what people don't understand. You know what I mean? We still struggle with the same things they do. We need health care. We need mental health care.
Well, and that's what the House and the Senate are trying to do. That's what the President is trying to do. They're trying to make it an us problem. They're trying to make it a trans problem. They're only passing laws against trans people because they want to put that off to the side, call it a freak show, and let people freak out about it because people are scared of what they don't know. Hey, thanks for tuning in to Trans Experience. The trans experience is a human experience, and together we can create a world where every story matters. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and connect with us wherever you stream your podcasts.
Until next time, we'll keep celebrating our humanity, breaking barriers, and living life boldly. Stay kind, stay real, and we'll see you next month.